Beans. You are the face of that network.
It's the story of the decade.
Nothing that you can say is worse than what I'm thinking right now.
The Newsreader.
Let's do it.
This is News at 6!
Starts Sunday night at 9 on BBC iPlayer.
Comedy now. Would you rather be Meryl Streep for a year or a continuity announcer on Radio 4 for a day? Well, I couldn't possibly comment, but that's just the kind of impossible dilemma on tonight's 6:30 Comedy.
I'm Steph McGovern and welcome to The Ultimate Choice, the show that confronts celebrities with dastardly dilemmas, quizzical quandaries and unhinged ultimatums. And joining me tonight are two top comedians. It's Russell Cain and Ria Lena. Okay, we're going to play a little game of Would You Rather? With a twist. I'll present each of our guests with a devious scenario that rests on one simple choice. But it won't be Russell and Ria choosing their fate. Oh no. Our infinitely wise studio audience will carefully consider the pros and cons of both sides. And with the help of real life experts, ultimately decide on our poor celebrities' fates. That's right, we'll be using the least controversial method possible, a referendum. It's time to impale our guests on the horns of our first dilemma. Ria, this time it's your destiny we're deciding. Here's the question. You've got a problem. Your flatmate's just moved out and you're going to have to find a replacement fast. You put an advert up online and luckily two applicants come back to you. They're both cash rich, they've passed their credit checks and they're happy to move in immediately. There's one small catch. Candidate one is a heron. Candidate two is a gorilla. Which one do you choose? So, that's your scenario. What are you instantly thinking, Ria?
Okay, my instinct is heron. That's my first instinct. They take up less space. They stand very, very still.
Yeah.
For most of the time. So that's my instinct.
Russell, what's your instinct?
Of course, heron.
A heron? Heron, why?
The most it's going to do is be annoying, poo all over there. Like, you know when a bird does a panic fly? That's quite scary when it comes in through the fan light and flies about. There'll be a bit of that, but eventually it'll settle down.
Yeah.
A gorilla can pummel you and kill you with its fists, and the last thing you'll see is the glinting fur of its malicious face as your blood flecks across its silver back. Heron, obviously.
Okie doke. Right, well, should we think about this a bit more forensically? Should we talk about the pros of the gorilla, first of all?
What pro is there of living a gorilla?
The cuddles. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're very social.
They're very social. They live in groups. You know, you wouldn't need... I mean, with the price of fuel right now, they'll keep you warm.
Gorillas share 98% of our DNA. So, you know, there'll be a lot of common ground there.
A banana shares 96% of our DNA. I don't want to be peeled. Do you know what we've not established? What type of gorilla? There's three types of gorilla you've been talking about here. There's the male silverback gorilla. There is a female gorilla, or there is a youth males, and then there's the youth females. They'd be old enough to be earning a living and pass the credit checks, one would assume.
Here I was thinking you were going to, like, name their species. Like, there's gorilla, gorilla. There's gorilla, gorilla, gorilla. But no, there's male. There's female, and there's old enough to have a credit check.
As you well know, there are only five great apes, and that is one of them. The only divergence is the chimp and the bonobo, which are genetically similar, but different species. As you were, Bjarch.
I'm not opposed to giving a gorilla a home. There's only 1,093 of them left in the wild, so...
Oh, my God, this is like a gorilla throwdown! Yeah?
What are the bad things from gorillas? What's the downside of living with
them? Oh, well, everything that Russell said. And they take up a lot more space. Like, they'd probably insist on the bigger bedroom, even though it's my flat. And
if you had any disputes with your neighbours, they'd be brilliant, though, wouldn't they? Like, they could just sort it out for you.
They would be the dispute, though, wouldn't they? They would be the reason we're in dispute
with our neighbours.
But
who would dare come and tell you that?
This is true. We could have all the house parties we want because they'd make a perfect door person.
Yeah, true. If I moved back to Essex, I don't think anyone would bat an eyelid half of the steroid-injecting guys I used to hang around. Like, Sharon! In fact, the girls look like herons. At the end of the day, I'm a bird.
So would you be happy with sharing a sofa with one?
Well, they are the sofa, yeah. Aren't they? I mean, that's the thing. You just sit on them and they, you know, just wrap around. I think we'd get on quite well.
Okay, what about herons then? Should we talk about the pros of herons?
I just think it's a creature that wouldn't bother you too much. I mean, you never hear a heron impression, do you? So they obviously don't have a distinct noise. I love fresh seafood, so that would be on the table every night.
There is also the issue of the fact that they like to be around water most of the time, so they'd really hog the bathroom.
They'll monopolise the bathtub, won't they?
Have we got a shower and a bath?
You've got a shower over the bath.
Oh, no, so they
you
hate that.
You have to shower while they're at the other end.
That beak's quite sharp, isn't it? One slip and... What a way to go.
But obviously herons can fly, so they could go and get you a Deliveroo rather than having to use Deliveroo.
Well, this is it.
I know, but then they'll if they have an identity crisis, they'll come back with a baby. That will be awkward.
They are a bit kinky, though.
What?
Oh.
Their mating displays include bill snapping, morning calls, twig shaking, and bill jewels.
Hang on, what's a bill jewel?
Like a jewel between the two beaks.
Oh, a bill jewel. I thought you meant they were putting like little crystals on there. I got a Swarovski crystal on my beak. Where'd you get that done, Sharon? Oh, just on the high street.
And they mate in colonies of up to 500.
So you're saying the mates are trying to come back to mind, you lot? Oh, do you get any action, Sharon? Yeah, I look like a game of Kaplunk by the end of the night.
Groups of 500?
Yeah.
I have never... Where?
Together.
I grew up in Holland. You always see one heron by itself on the side of a canal, and then you have to run up to it and see if it's a real heron because they put fake herons
That's
there to
right,
scare
yeah.
off all the other birds. Oh, could I live with a fake heron?
How would a fake heron pass a credit check?
You're so right, I went too far.
There is also the issue of they eat a lot, herons, so...
Oh, yeah, right. There's a gorilla's on, like, Ryvita and cottage cheese, isn't it?
Do our audience have any insights on this that they'd like to share with us?
Yeah, so you've said you could be mauled to death by a gorilla. Could you not be impaled to death by the beak of the heron? So,
Absolutely.
You know, you fall asleep on the sofa or something, you forget to feed the heron because, you know, they eat a lot. You wake up, the first thing you see is just mighty beak coming towards you and, you know, you're gone.
That's
your
a really good
artery
point.
And you're dead.
Just the one thing we've not considered is what if the heron is psychopathic?
But wait, just why assume... are we feeding them? They're cash rich. Why?
Sally, how do they pass a credit check? The heron and gorilla have now swapped personality. So the heron's this violent psychopath waiting to peck my duodenum out. And the gorilla's like, have you ever considered a plant-based diet?
Shall we bring in an expert at this point? I think we need one, don't we? Jules Howard is a zoologist and author, and he had this to say.
Gorillas do spend lots of their time lying around, often digesting their food. But you've got to remember that these are really, really super social animals. So while they're resting, I doubt the gorilla's going to just sit on its own. It's going to expect to sit next to you on the sofa. Potentially, if it's a one-seater, it's going to be on your lap. It's going to be expecting grooming. Herons spend a lot of their day stood like a statue, really still. And some visitors to the house might find that a little bit weird. Also, gorillas have really large territories of sometimes 13 miles squared. So it may well, after a few months, start making its move onwards, I would say. Whereas herons are really faithful to the places that they nest. So you get yourself a heron, you may well have someone renting for 5, 6, even 7 years. Humans are really, really weirdly unique in that we tend to like sex in private. That isn't the case for gorillas. So you could be watching Netflix and, you know, the gorilla's at it in the living room. You could be going off to make a cup of tea, and obviously the kitchen's the latest space. So if anything, that is going to be something you, as the person renting the room, are going to need to get used to, is the potentially the sight of a lot of gorilla sex. Herons, I suppose it's a seasonal thing. So it's going to be noisy for a couple of months of the year. So it depends on the personality of the person. Extrovert, go gorilla. Introvert, go heron.
Oh, so there you have it. What are you thinking, Ria? A heron might never move out. Is that a good or a bad thing? I mean, you've got that security of rent.
Well, he said 5, 6, 7 years. It sounds like the heron has a much shorter lifespan. So the heron's going to pop his clogs. And if I'm good to the heron, then I'm cash rich, passing my credit checks. That's what I heard.
Okay. Ria's moment of choice is upon us. So, studio audience, if you're in the gorilla camp, make yourselves known now. If you want a heron to live with Rhea, make yourselves known now. So, Rhea is going to live with a heron.
Of course.
I'm sure you and the heron will get on fine. Just be careful about asking them to leave a deposit. Right, let's move on to our next conundrum. Russell, it's your future on the line. Here we go. It's a bank holiday weekend, and surprise, surprise, it's pouring with rain outside. At the back of a dusty cupboard, you find two board games, Monopoly and Cluedo. But these aren't just any old games, they're both haunted. You find yourself transported Jumanji style inside one of them, a place where you will have to spend the rest of your days. So, Monopoly or Cluedo, which game do you pick?
So easy. Monopoly, obviously. I love London. Lived in London most of my life. I quite fancy getting into the property game and out of this one, social housing with charitable, you know, looking after people that need housing. Guaranteed rent from the council, so I feel good, but it's still a steady income. Monopoly, easy
peasy. Rhea, what do you think?
Definitely Monopoly. Definitely. I mean, I very much suit Park Lane. Wait, we're definitely talking the London Monopoly? Because I have Doctor Who Monopoly at home.
Well, yeah. Well, this is also part of it. It could be anywhere. I've got the Middlesbrough Monopoly as well.
Well, that's different. That's, and you didn't say that.
Really? Is that...
I'll choose death. Cluedo, please.
You cheeky thing. Right, should we have more of a forensic look at it then? So, Russell, what do you think the pros are of Monopoly?
Well, the pros are, if we're talking about classic Monopoly, I'm at home in London. I recognise the place names. Yes, there is a potential to go to jail, but that could happen on any night out, couldn't it? To go to, like, a mansion where someone is definitely going to be killed with an object by the end of the night, I don't care how five-star AA guide it is, I don't want to be done in by a reverend in the darkness. So for me, it's an environment I know, yes, the risks are smaller, and there's that opportunity to better yourself as well. And also acquire the utility companies and get a fair energy price for all.
So, I mean, Rhea, what do you think on the pros of Monopoly?
Oh, I think there's a ton of pros. Obviously, you can work your way up. But also, I mean, the idea of free parking for life.
Oh.
I mean, doesn't that just...
Absolutely. Would I have a physical body or would I turn into
well,
a top
Well, this is
hat?
The thing. You see, you are a character in it. So you could be a top hat, a car, you could be a T-Rex.
He now wants to be T-Rex. A thimble T-Rex and you know it, Steph.
Yeah. T-Rex is... Hang on, this changes everything. Because I was in there, like, living my best life, hanging out, you know, buying Leicester Square. I saw, like, a mini plastic version of me partying. But if I'm going to be just... like a top hat. With yeah. Can I still think and feel, or have I got no feelings?
No, you've got no feelings whatsoever.
That changes everything.
But you get $200 periodically. Just
yeah, but you won't be able to enjoy it because you don't have a prefrontal cortex or any working...
But you might get to run a bank, though, which would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? To run
you
a
could
bank?
Run the bank, which is what we find most people with no prefrontal cortexes end up doing in real life anyway, so...
Yeah, basically, yeah. What are the pieces in Monopoly?
So there's a car... There's an iron. But where do you eat, though? There isn't anywhere to eat. There's, like, a waterworks.
No, there's a massive Tesco down Old Kent Road.
No, there isn't.
There is. Well, I've been down the Old
Not
Kent
Road.
Not
on Monopoly. Yeah, oh, that's in real life. Should we talk about the pros of Cluedo, then? Rhea, what are you thinking of the pros?
Well, there's a kitchen. I think that's a massive pro.
Yeah, so you can eat.
You can eat. Are we going with the classic version of Cluedo?
What's the Middlesbrough one? Yeah. Al Gavin's burning a sofa in the front room. I hope he's not going to get stabbed in that.
And I thought you were my friend. Pros of Cluedo, please, Rhea.
Okay, when they first designed it, they designed a gun room and then they felt that wasn't accessible to most people. So they got rid of the gun room, so that's a pro.
Now we just have a gym. Guns. Can you die in Cluedo? Can your character be murdered?
Well, I mean, you are living with a murderer, so there's every potential.
Well, that's true. One of you.
All of us in this room, love. Nasty bastard, right, Carol?
Oh, I know another pro. As far as I'm aware, everyone else that you're in the game with is single. So,
hello.
Yeah. Who would you want to be?
Miss Scarlet. Oh, Scarlet. Wait. No, no. Sorry. Change my answer.
Go on.
Dr. Orchid.
Dr. Orchid.
Dr. Orchid.
It's not a character in Cluedo.
Yes, I'm afraid Ms. White met an untimely end, and Dr. Orchid has replaced her.
Oh, wow. Is this a new version of Cluedo?
It's since 2016. They that Ms. White didn't speak to the people.
Okay.
Like, apparently we don't all have
housekeepers. What led them to think she was part of the dominant narrative, I wonder?
What about the cons, then, of Cluedo? I mean, there's privacy, that's one, isn't there? There's no locks on any doors. Would you be bothered about that, Russell?
Yes. That's the worst thing, particularly as a younger man. That was the blight of my childhood. Dinner's ready. I was just cleaning. What are you doing? Are we saying it goes on forever?
Yes, you are stuck in this house forever, and you'd be bothered because there'd be no gym.
And there's no gym, no.
We could make a gym by using the noose in the conservatory as a TRX.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. But that's all you'd be able
Lead
to do, wouldn't
bicep
it?
Bicep curls.
Yep. And the candlestick, right?
Feel
by the end
burn.
Of time. But...
I'd love to know what our audience think on this.
I think what we've forgotten about Monopoly is that there's only one winner in the end. So if someone wins early on, are you just penniless and homeless for the rest of eternity?
Oh, yes, because if someone goes big and ends up with all the hotels and you're constantly forking out, you could be bankrupt. You could get sent to jail.
Isn't that the actual world we're living in England?
Yeah.
It's not far from where we bloody are. Rees-Mogg is the top hat.
Right. Well, our distinguished live studio audience are probably forming a view now. But before they lock in Russell's fit, let's hear from an expert. Megan Hine is a survivalist, wilderness guide and producer. And this is what she thinks.
With the Cluedo, you've got a team, you've got people around you. Yes, obviously there's a very tragic and very serious situation that you found yourself in, but you've got the support of other people in that. Whereas Monopoly, you're stuck within that engineered game of having to succeed, having to make money. There's a huge, huge amount of pressure on when you're in that scenario. With Cluedo, obviously there is an element of trust that's there and not quite knowing who's going to get stabbed in the back and when. I guess we understand people. So in Monopoly, where you've got Tyrannosaurus Rex and a top hat, and it's like how they behave is like, I have no idea. So you're having to learn in the moment how those items or those creatures might behave towards you, and are they a threat or are they a help? You don't know. Whereas at least with people, we can understand much more what their motives are, what their agenda is, and read the body language as well.
Oh, so there we have it.
I just thought of another con of Cluedo. You've got a dead body in one of the rooms.
Yep.
And you can't leave the house. That's going to smell so bad.
Eat it.
This is true.
Did you say eat it?
You can eat it. Did Megan change your mind on anything there, Russell?
Well, I was initially too decisive, clearly. I was so decisive, I didn't think things through. But now that I've had better facts... I think I'm going to go into Cluedo. The main thing that swung it for me is being a hat. Or being a dinosaur, my only word was... I wouldn't be able to express myself.
What are we thinking now then, Rhea? Where are you at with this now?
I quite like Russell. I would send him to Cluedo, because I think, you're fit, you're young, you'd be able to outrun Miss Scarlet. She's got heels on.
Yeah, but you'd be stuck indoors. I just could not imagine you working from home for the rest of your life.
Listen, we all know how good we are at working from home, and I was fine. Is there Zoom in Cluedo?
Right, well, it is decision time, so let's find out. Studio audience, if you want to send Russell into Monopoly, give us a cheer. Hey! Okay, that's a moderate cheer there. Team Cluedo, let's be having you. There we have it. The audience has spoken. In this scenario, Russell, you should be banished to Cluedo. But look on the bright side. It's better than having a not-so-peaceful retirement in Hungry, Hungry Hippos. And that's the end of round two! For our next question, we're going to turn the table. So this time, it's not our guests whose futures are on the line. It's our audience who will face the ultimate choice. And who will choose their fate? Russell and Rhea, of course. Are you up for that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. See how they like it.
Okay, here is our third scenario. It's the zombie apocalypse and you're sprinting down your local high street looking for somewhere to hide out for the next few years until this all blows over. Somewhere to provide you with food, shelter, weaponry. To your left, a garden centre. To your right, a toy shop. Only one can be your safe house. Which one do you choose?
This feels like a trick question, because surely the garden center is the obvious answer. Mm. It's got everything you need. You're going to be growing. I mean, if you weren't vegetarian before, you will be now. So you're going to have all of your vegetables, and you can grow those. And then you've got your spades for weaponry and trowely bits.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? No, okay. Oh, look, someone who came from outside London with a garden laughing at me. Okay. Thank you so much.
Is it a standard garden centre where it's partially indoors, partially outdoors? Is it all equally secure, the perimeter? That's what I've got to think about. To me, a toy shop feels... If you're genuinely going to get eaten by flesh-eating, deranged zombie creatures, you want to really feel like you can lock those doors properly.
What's in this toy store that's going to maintain the, you know, for sustenance for years?
What are you going to eat?
There'll be plasticine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And there'll be sweets. There's always sweets in a toy shop.
There's going to be sweets, definitely sweets.
Yeah, you could live for
a little while. That's great. I can have diabetes within a fortnight. Yeah. That doesn't matter. It's got Sky Electrics while my blood sugar rocks.
Have none of you watched Home Alone as well? Obviously, a toy store is great for creating weapons against people attacking you.
No, great for weaponry, but then how are you using... Why do you need the weaponry if it's as secure as Russell says?
Exactly.
If it's secure, you need...
You can become self-sufficient in the garden setter pretty quickly.
Mm. Yeah, but isn't that where the first place the zombies are going to go is the garden centre?
No, zombies don't go, "Should we go be killed?"
Should we see if our audience have any views on this?
Every garden centre I've seen recently has a toy shop in it anyway, so you'd have everything there. Anyway.
However, I make the rules here.
This is a Middlesbrough garden centre.
Yeah. No toys.
There was another point from the gentleman there in the checkered shirt.
I just think everybody should look to your left, look to your right, think to yourself, who's eating who? Because I feel like the toy store gets a lot more viable if you size up the crowd in here and you think to yourself, like, where am I at in terms of age and fitness? I mean, for instance, like you look like a pretty fit guy. I feel like
Thanks, man. DM me afterwards, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Can I just point out, how are you preserving all of your fellow audience members once you've decided to eat them all over years? Like, there's salt in the garden center.
You don't gotta do them all at once. You can
This is
my bad.
Great point there from Hannibal Lecter.
He's bang on though. It is what would happen once people are properly starving. The garden centre, that's going to happen a lot slower because there is a vegan alternative, guys. Caroline Lucas #.
There was a comment over here as well. Let's get your point.
Yeah, as evidenced by my teenage son, I think the toys shop could be the best choice because he can spend days, if not weeks, playing his Xbox and Nintendo without any sleep, drink, food, or substance.
I didn't even think of that.
Good point, well made. Okay, I think it's time to hear from an expert on this.
Oh. Hold on, there's a last minute comment from the front row.
Okay, let's get a mic to you and then we'll go to the expert.
It was urgent enough to disrupt proceedings.
Can I ask what kind of toy shop it is?
How many batteries have we got?
Thank you for that question. It is a children's toy shop. Okay, before we can decide what to do, let's hear from our ultimate choice expert, survivalist and wilderness guide, Megan Hine.
Automatically, I'm drawn to the garden centre because you've got tools there, so you can create defence to keep the zombies out. You've got plants that you can cultivate for food. You've got the fish there as well. So you've got a protein source and you could actually create an incredible permaculture setup there. My concern here would be that because it is so obvious, everybody else who's in the area is going to be attracted into this. And in a situation like that, the zombies are not the only threat. Other people are as well. And underneath everything, we're animals. And when people are threatened, we have the capacity of doing some pretty horrendous things to other people. Survival is all about improvisation as well. So with the toy shop, you might find like survival kits in there that have been designed for children. You'd be able to build a fortress. There's methods of making fire. You may find some sort of nutrition. It's probably likely to be kind of sweet stuff, which, you know, is good for a quick hit on energy thing. You know, you can create rain collection facilities on the roof. You know, if you've got a high point there, it also helps provide some sort of protection. You can have lookouts, which is going to be really important to let you know who's coming or what's coming. So if I was faced with the choice of the garden centre and the toy shop, I'd be choosing the toy shop.
Oh, so that's what our survivalist Megan thinks. But Russell and Ria, you are going to decide. What are you thinking?
I'm sorry, I think she forgot that you're going to be in there for years. Years. I trust this all. I think they've bonded. I think we've had a lovely time. And I trust them to create a survivalist community in the garden center that will welcome those that come in that need shelter and will defend each other while others sleep. So I'm sticking with garden center.
Okay, Russell?
Well, the fact that the survivalist did not consider is we're moving as a 250 pack. So once we get in there first, it's going to be quite easy to fortify and defend that against other groups, which are going to be smaller that turn up.
Kids.
The main worry is
the kids are going to the toy store. You know that the kids are
exactly the kids are in the toy store. So I think we could defend it, but obviously the main worry is obviously Jeffrey Dahmer over there. We've already got to eat everyone in here like Salt Bay.
Okay, so where's your vote going then, Ria?
Garden center.
Okay, where's your vote going?
I'll send them to the garden centre. I think these guys could fortify and defend and even fight off that gentleman over there.
Well, there we have it. You're both saying garden centre. Studio audience, your apocalypse hideout has been chosen. Just picture the scene. Hordes of rancid, putrid, flesh-eating freaks hiding from zombies in the garden centre. So, that brings us to the end of the show. And where are we now, you might ask? Rhea's learning that a heron is for life and not just for Christmas. Russell's in Cluedo, getting really good at billiards. And our audience are holed up in a garden centre. And when this whole zombie apocalypse is over, can you pick me up some wisteria? Thanks once again to our panellists, Russell Kane and Rhea Lena, and to our wonderful audience. I've been Steph McGovern, and this has been The Ultimate Choice. Good night.
The Ultimate Choice was presented by Steph McGovern with guests Russell Kane and Rhea Lena. It was devised by John Harvey and Joseph McGurgle. And the producer was John Harvey. It's a Naked production for BBC Radio 4.
Well, as the laughter fades away, just a reminder of tomorrow's 6:30 romp. It's the last in the current series of Dead Ringers, our favourite comedy impressions programme, starring John Culshaw and a host of other talented, funny people taking an irreverent look at the week's news. Now, Oliver is worried about a wasted opportunity in The Archers after the news in a moment. And at 7:15, composer and vocalist Jennifer Walsh performs live in the studio. Tom Sutcliffe will also hear reviews from Sarah Hall and Agnes Poirier.